Hey, before we get going today, I just got a text message that I had to share with you. So many things are going on in student ministry and in kids ministry that oftentimes we don't even see it. In fact, next Sunday we're going to have a bunch of our students, our 6th through 12th graders, are going to be coming up front. They've been going through a confirmation journey. Ron and Angela Jackson have been leading them through this class, and I met with them last week. This is not the text message. I'll get to that. I met with them last week, and I was so impressed with our students, not just what they know here. But I was so impressed that it seems like so many of our students know Jesus, like really know Jesus. And it's so encouraging to see that. So I wanted you to know that. But Mike was just telling me he actually just got to pray with one of our students who said, hey, I just want to become a Christ follower. And so can we just celebrate that today? Isn't that awesome? Had to share that with you. Talking about leaving the 99 to go find the one. Praise God that that's happening. Well, today we're in week two of our series called Divine Direction. And let me ask you this question. Have you ever been in a situation or in a season where you had to make a decision, but you were still wrestling with what God wanted you to do? It's like, I want God's direction here. In fact, if you've ever been in a place where you felt like, I just am wondering how to discern God's will and how to discern God's direction, then this series is for you. And this series is not just talking about the forever, like, you know, 30 years from now, what is God's will for my life? What we're really talking about is, what is God's will for our life today? What are our next steps today? And how can, because the thing is, the decisions we make today determine the stories we will tell tomorrow. The thing is, we live in a world today that is so, there's so much going on. And you know, there's a lot of good things, but there's a lot of clutter and distractions that honestly can make it difficult for us to hear from God. It can make us difficult to know, is this God or is this not God? And the thing I know is that I just know God is speaking. He's still speaking today, just like he did in the scripture. God didn't get laryngitis. He speaks. And so in this series, I want to help you to better hear from God. And I want to help you to know how to follow God's direction in your life. And last week, just to recap, we talked about how following God's direction is not like this map where you have everything, or a blueprint, like you have everything laid out and you just know exactly everything that's going to happen in your life. That's not what it means to follow God's direction. It's actually more like playing the game of connect the dots. You remember playing that growing up? You know, where you had to go from dot one. It was, when you were a kid, it was an adventure. You didn't know what the picture was. I can look at my kids, you know, connect the dot thing. I'm like, it's a dog. I know. It's obvious, right? But for a kid, it was like an adventure. Like, you go to one, and then once you find one, then you find two. And this is what it means to follow God's direction. It's step by step, day by day, moment by moment. And the thing that we said is, God doesn't usually, we don't usually know the whole picture. In fact, we usually, when God leads us in some direction, we usually don't even know how the details, we don't know the details. In fact, almost never do we get the details. It's one of those things where God usually just shows us, well, here's your next step. And our job is to take our next faithful step to walk forward with where God is leading, one dot at a time. And as we follow God step by step, day by day, in those little small decisions, we find ourselves actually walking in step with God and his direction, his will. And so we said, instead of focusing so much on what God wants us to do, the what and the do, we said, start by focusing on who God wants you to become. Start by focusing on who God wants you to become, becoming the person God wants you to be, becoming more and more like Jesus in the way you love, in the way you live. And if you do things to become more like Jesus, you do those things, you find yourself actually gradually making decisions that followers of Jesus make. And so today, one of the things that I've seen is the big challenge for us today in finding God's direction is many people are not good decision makers, right? And many of us are not good decision makers. Yeah, we try, you know, we want to do what's best, but it's hard. We struggle to hear from God, and because we struggle to hear from God, we have trouble knowing what direction we're supposed to go. And so the problem of indecisiveness is becoming even bigger and bigger and bigger. Have you noticed that? It's one of those things where we have trouble making decisions, and I think there's a few key reasons for this, and one of the reasons that I think we have a hard time making decisions, indecisiveness, is because of this reality that today we live in a culture with so many different options, so many choices everywhere. You go into a coffee shop, and not long ago, they used to ask you, do you want cream and sugar in your coffee, you know, or do you want it black? And that was the choice that you had to make. But now you walk into a coffee shop, and it's like, I don't even know. This looks like a starship or something, and I don't even know what to order. We were at a restaurant the other day, and I felt like such an old man. Like, I walked in there, and I was like, you got to help me understand this menu. I have no clue what I'm looking at here. There were so many choices. And you know this, if you've ever, food's on my brain. I guess we're getting close to lunch. But if you've ever, on Friday night, and you're driving around with your family or with your date, your wife or spouse, whatever, you ask this age-old question. So, where do you want to go for dinner tonight? I don't know. And this indecision, and so many options are great, but it makes it harder to make decisions. At the same time, the second thing that I found, a reason that we're more indecisive today, is we also have this illusion of perfection. We have this illusion of perfection. And social media is awesome. We connect with so many people. But one of the things that I found is through social media, you look at everybody else's life. You see what they're doing and what they're eating. You see where they're going on vacation. You see their awesome posts and their awesome pictures. And you start to look at their life. And you're like, man, their life is awesome. Everybody's life is awesome. And then you look at yours and you're like, my life is not so awesome. My life kind of stinks compared to these dream vacations that everybody's going on. When in reality, social media is just a billboard. It's a billboard of everybody's highlight reel. You know, it's everybody's best of the best moments, right? And so it's not a bad thing. It's just, it is what it is. And so this illusion of perfection oftentimes leaves us trying to produce perfect decisions or to produce a perfect life. And when we can't do that, it's kind of like we feel this like, almost like inability or this paralysis of not being able to make a decision. Like, what if I don't make a perfect decision? Do I miss God's will, right? And so that's one of the things. Another thing that I think has caused some indecisiveness today is I think sometimes over-programming our kids. And I'm a guy that I played 3 sports in high school, and I was in music, and I did church, and all these things. But I chose to do those things. And it's one of those things where we figured out how to prioritize. But not long ago, we didn't have cell phones and iPads to entertain, you know, to hypnotize our kids, right? We do this all the time. We're like, we want to have an adult conversation, and we're like, here's an iPad. Have fun, right? But we've been starting to think about this, like, you know, what's the best way to, like, kind of lead our kids, and how much is it good for them to do that, and, you know, all that stuff. But anyway, we had to be creative back in the day, didn't we? If you were bored, what did your parents say to you? Go play outside. Go outside. And you had to be creative to come up with things to do. So I had a trampoline growing up, and it was this big trampoline. It was awesome. But over time, a trampoline gets boring to jump on. Dun, dun, dun. And so we had to get creative. And the trampoline became the place where adventure happened. We created this game of how to play football every single day, tackle football on a round trampoline where you could jump over each other or jump to the side, and it was awesome. But it took being creative and our parents saying, go play outside, you know? You know, researchers are saying today that we are telling our kids oftentimes what to do, but we're not giving them the ability or the tools to decide. And so it's kind of like, well, you're going to go here, and then you're going to here, and then here, and here, and here. And because of that, our kids oftentimes haven't developed the tools for how to make decisions. And so anyway, all this stuff said, today what we're going to do is we're going to talk about God's directional process. What does that mean? We're going to talk about how God leads us, and we're going to look at 4 things that we start to encounter in our lives when we start to follow God's direction, and we're going to talk about how to trust God's process as God leads us, and today we're going to look at a story in Acts Acts chapter 20. It's in the New Testament. It is the book right after the Gospels, so Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, and then Acts. And in Acts chapter 20, let me just set this up so you understand the context, because it's kind of cool. Paul is this incredible church planter, planted churches all over the place. He was an incredible pastor too, and he was a pastor in this church in Ephesus. Started a lot of churches, but pastor in Ephesus, and the Ephesian church loved him. They loved Paul. In fact, Paul was in the church of Ephesus. He loved that church, and he could see himself he would be happy being there forever and ever and ever. But it was one of these things where Paul starts to feel prompted by God to kind of leave where he was to go somewhere else, to plant other churches and other things. And so he calls the elders of the church together to share probably this emotional news with them, that feeling called by God. And here's what the scripture says, Acts chapter 20, starting in verse 22. Paul says this, "And now, compelled by the Spirit, I am going to Jerusalem, not knowing what will happen to me there. I only know that in every city, the Holy Spirit warns me that prison and hardships are facing me. However, I consider my life worth nothing to me. My only aim is to finish the race and complete the task the Lord Jesus has given me, the task of testifying to the good news of God's grace." And so within this story, what I want to do is I want us to see four different things, four different steps, if you will, that shows how God leads us, his directional process. These four things are things that you're going to encounter over and over and over in your life as you begin to follow God more and more. Here's the first thing you start to discover. It's really this action step. I want to encourage you to, number one, follow the Spirit's prompting. Follow the Spirit's prompting, the Holy Spirit of God. And really what that means is you're going to experience this nudge of God so many different times in your life. You'll sense God nudging you or prompting you or encouraging you to kind of take some kind of step, almost like a calling, almost like, I just feel like I got to be part of this. And here's what Paul said about that, verse 22, the beginning of it. He said, "And now, compelled by the Spirit, I am going to Jerusalem." See, he felt this compelling power, this pull of the Holy Spirit of God, calling him to be a part of and to lead him in a different direction. And so this word compelled is interesting in the original language. In the original language of Greek in the New Testament, the word compelled is almost like this word picture. It's almost like, imagine a rope being tied around your waist, not your neck, or a rope around your waist, and you're getting pulled by that rope in a certain direction. This is kind of the metaphor here. I just feel like this rope is around my waist and I'm being pulled in this direction. You could also think of it, if you want to be scientific, about a magnet. It's almost like this magnetic pull that's kind of wooing me in this direction. This is what it looks like to be compelled by God. And we'll talk more about that. But it's one of those things where Paul is like, I am so happy with what I'm doing and where I am, and I love this, but I just feel like God's pulling me in this direction. Now, let me just say this about, about the Spirit's prompting. God will never compel you. God will never compel you or pull you or lead you in a direction that goes against his character. God will never lead you in a way that goes against the scripture. This is how God works. And so oftentimes we feel compelled, like let's say, somebody says, well, I feel compelled to punch my neighbor right now, like they have just been getting in my business and I'm going to go give them the business, if you're feeling compelled to do that, that's not of God. That is not God compelling you to do that, It's something else compelling you. It's not God. It might be your emotion, right? And so we can get compelled by a lot of things, but there are so many moments and times and seasons when God will start to put something on your heart. That God will start to just make you kind of where you just feel like God just wants me to do this. And oftentimes it's things where you see a need in the world, where there's some kind of pain or there's an opportunity, and you're like, I just feel like God wants me to be a part of that right now. And it's one of those things where, as followers of Jesus, we've got to be ready. We've got to be aware, and we've got to be ready for the promptings of the Holy Spirit. Who is the Holy Spirit? It's just God. It's God's presence that's with you everywhere you are. You got to be aware and ready for those promptings of God. And it could be for really big things, but oftentimes it's even for those little small details. You know, not long ago, I heard this really cool story of somebody in this church who they were saying, you know, I felt like there was somebody in the hospital, and I just felt like God was compelling me. God was like wanting me to go pray with them in the hospital. And it's not something I would typically do. And I was kind of wondering, like, this is out of my comfort zone. Like, I don't understand why. But I just felt like God wanted me to go, and God wanted me to do that. And they did. And they prayed with this friend, and it was this incredible God moment. And for me, I was about 6 years ago, I was a pastor at this church where I loved. It was a place that I loved. It was something that we were doing. We had started this new ministry there, and it was blowing up there, and we were reaching people. I got to baptize this guy who was a meth addict, you know, addict not long before that. Got to all sorts of things where God was doing stuff, but at the same time, we were feeling this pull. We were feeling this almost gravitational pull by God to start a new church, and we're like, what is that, God? Like, what is that all about? And it was one of these things where we started, you know, it was almost like it wasn't because, you know, this area just needed another church, but we just felt compelled by God. We realized there were so many people in this area who are not connected to a church family or not connected to a relationship with Jesus. And we just felt compelled by God to start something up here. And at the same time, our United Methodist Conference was feeling that same call and saying, we feel like God is saying, you're the people to do this. And that was one of the, you know, like, whoa, God, you are speaking. And in those moments, that's when God becomes real, you know, when you start following the promptings of God. And it's one of those things for me where I started feeling this pull to reach, to create a church, a new church that would stand in the gap to reach people who weren't connected to a local church. But it happens to me so many times, and you may know this as well. It happens to me oftentimes when God will put somebody just on my mind or on my heart, you might say, where just somebody will come to my mind, I just can't stop thinking about them, and I just, it's almost like I'm compelled by God not to just send them a text in that moment, but to sometimes pick up the phone and give them a call, or to write them a note of encouragement, or to say, hey, I've been, for some reason, you've been on my mind, and would you like to grab coffee, and I don't even know where it's going. And all of a sudden, what I find is so many times that a person will say, wow, like it's so crazy that we're meeting up right now, because I'm in a moment right here where they're making a decision or something like that, or like I just need an encouragement. And just those God moments just pop up when you lean into those nudges of God. And so I want to encourage you to pay attention to those little nudges of God and don't be afraid to follow God there, to be obedient to how God might be speaking to you. Because it's not usually in this loud, booming voice, you know, like, this is what I want you to do. Go to KFC and talk to this man. Like, that would be nice. Not KFC, but it'd be nice to go. I'm kidding. It's a great place. But God will speak to you on your conscience so many times. And this is one of the reasons why I love following God. Like, this is one of the reasons. Because for me, like, when you start paying attention to the promptings of the Holy Spirit and you find out really quickly, like, wow, God, you are so real. Like, you were leading me here. And then when I leaned into that, wow, you showed up in this kind of way. God becomes real. And so you hear people talk in church about following God and following and walking with God. When you start really leaning into the Spirit's promptings, following God becomes not just some quirky religious jargon that people throw out. But you start to realize it is like this massive, awesome, scary, and crazy adventure of following God and saying, God, what do you have for me next? And so every day, you don't wake up, if you're following the promptings of God, you don't wake up and saying, oh, good Lord, it's morning. You know, you say, good morning, Lord. Good morning, Lord. How do you want to use me? What do you have for me today? Follow the Spirit's prompting. Here's the second thing that you're going to encounter as far as God's directional process. The second thing you're going to encounter is you will experience certain uncertainty. You will experience certain uncertainty. That seems weird, doesn't it? You can be certain that you will experience uncertainty. That's basically what this means. And I know that's funny, but when God starts to nudge you in big things or in small things, you will almost always face a sense of uncertainty. I don't know how this is going to turn out if you're really trusting God. And it'll be uncertainty about, God, are you really leading me here? And let me just say that you can oftentimes question away the nudge of God so much that you actually miss how God is wanting to lead you. You can question and say, well, God, are you really in this? And all of a sudden, it's passed you by. But at the same time, it's this uncertainty about the result. Like, God, if I take this step to point A or to point B, what's going to happen here? And in those moments, that's when God shows you that when you take a step of faith, that God is faithful. Here's what it says, what Paul says in Acts chapter 20, verse 22. He said, I am going to Jerusalem, not knowing what will happen to me there. Like, I don't even know, but I know God's leading me there. It's like, I know this is what God wants me to do, but I don't even know the details. I have to tell you, when we first started, we moved to this area to start planting this church from scratch. It's hard to envision this, but it was the weirdest thing ever. Like, we said bye to this amazing church, and we moved into a house that was just us. It was me and Mandy, and there was no church, there was no people, there was a little bit of money. We had no name, we had nothing. And so people always ask me, well, how did you start gathering people? We don't know. Like, we just knew, like, every day, it's like, I would go to Starbucks sometime, and I'd kind of, like, probably creepy, you know, in a creepy way, kind of be listening, like, God, are you speaking to, you know, through somebody else? But we would just start meeting people, and over time, day by day by day, God started developing relationships. We had preview services, and God started building this thing. But it was this crazy, weird thing. And so we had this sense of uncertainty. And in that very beginning and in the early days, and even today sometimes, I'm always like, God, can you just show me the details? God, give me the details. I want to know when, and I want to know who. I want to know how. I want to know all these things. Have you ever seen that movie where it's Jack Nicholas, and he says, you want the truth? You can't handle the truth, that great line. Now, I don't think God yells at us, but I think God often says to us, you know what? You want to know all the details. You want to have the whole map figured out. But even if I told you the details, you couldn't handle all that. And so I'm going to lead you step by step and day by day. And I'm going to do things in you and through you that right now that you could never even dream of. Even if you imagine your most wildest dreams, I'll do more than you could ever ask for or imagine. Just follow me step by step, day by day, and I'll do something in you, and I'll do something through you. And so for me, it's one of these crazy things because one of the things that I found is each day, God just wants us to chip away day by day. Or as Kirby Smart said, the Georgia football coach, he kept saying this all season, keep chopping wood, keep chopping wood. This is what it looks like to follow God. It's almost like these blinders on. I don't know what I'm supposed to do in the extreme future, but here's what God wants me to do today. And so the thing is, God doesn't usually give you step 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 until you take 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. And so for us, our job is to just walk forward in faith and to trust that God will be faithful. And for us as a church, what we've seen is over a relatively short period of time that God has been building a church that is going to impact this community for generations to come. And you are the first generation. You are the foundation of what God is building. You're part of that. And so it's such a cool thing. One of my favorite verses in all the Bible is Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. And it's because one of my mentors in high school, this was one of his favorite things. And as I was kind of discerning some stuff in college, he brought me to this verse. And I was like, that's going to be my verse too. Here's what it says. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lead not on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to him and he will make your path straight. In all your ways, submit to him, and he will make your path straight. See, the truth is we will always face a sense of uncertainty about the future, but if you walk forward with God, God will make your path straight. In fact, I want to say if you're not facing some kind of uncertainty every once in a while in your life, then you're probably not walking by faith. It's one of those things where God always wants to lead us. And so our job is to focus on being obedient, not to step 3, 4, or 12, 13, 14, but be obedient to what God wants to do in us and through us today. And he promises to guide us every step of the way. Here's the third step of God's guiding process, and this is kind of an interesting one. Number 3, you will face predictable resistance. You will face predictable resistance. Oh boy. You can write it down, you can mark it down. When you start following God, you will encounter some resistance. In fact, your spiritual enemy will resist what God wants you to do. It will happen. In fact, whenever you take a step to trust God in any way, but especially in big ways, or when God wants to use you in a significant way, you will absolutely face some resistance. It'll either be spiritually, you'll encounter some resistance, that happens a lot, or even resistance within yourself. You'll start doubting whether you can do it and whether God called you, or maybe having fear of moving forward. Here's what Paul said in verse 23. He said, I only know that in every city the Holy Spirit warns me that prison and hardships are facing me. Oh boy, right? Now this is a true reality. Thankfully, we don't encounter this today where prison and stuff like that, we could be thrown into prison for following Jesus. But there are so many places all around the world where the church is being so persecuted that they're having to meet in underground places. And if they find them, if you're found to be with a Bible, or if you profess the name of Jesus, you could either be killed or thrown into prison. Thankfully, we're not like that in this country. However, it's one of those things where it's funny how resistance works. When opposition comes against people who are following Jesus, the church, by and large, is exploding with growth in the places in this world that are most persecuted. You would think it would be the opposite, wouldn't you? But in places where everything's open and believe what you want to believe, the church seems to be declining. And it's just interesting how that works out in the world. And it's one of these things where when we face some kind of resistance, I want you to know that it doesn't mean that God isn't leading you there. Sometimes when we face some kind of resistance, we're like, well, I guess that means God's not in it. But I want to tell you that oftentimes it's confirmation that you're actually moving forward exactly where God wants you to go. Because when else would you expect to experience resistance from our spiritual enemy? I mean, not when you're just doing whatever you want to do and walking aimlessly in your life. No, it's when you start doing big things for God. And so expect it. It's okay. You know, for me, virtually every significant thing we've ever done, there has been resistance. When we moved to start this church here, we experienced resistance in some of the most weird places. We experienced resistance from even other churches. Like, why is there another church? Why are you coming to this area? And are you here to take all of our people? We're like, no, we don't want your people. You know, I'm kidding. But it was one of those weird things, like, this is a weird place to get resistance from, you know? And it was one of those things where, like, no, we're here to create a brand new faith community. We're here to create a church to reach people who are not yet connected to Jesus or not yet connected to a church family in this community. And the cool thing is, this church, if you look statistically, it's about 90%. About 90% of the people who are connected to this church are people who either recently moved to the area, who never had a walk with Jesus, never put their faith in Jesus, or were not connected to a church home in the last 2 to 5 years. Isn't that cool? This is what God is doing in and through us here. And so one of the things, too, is when I felt God calling me to go to Kentucky for seminary, there was this resistance. I knew there was a lot of places that I could go free. Free is good, y'all, when you go to school. But I felt God compelling me. I'm like, great, you know, to go to Kentucky of all places, you know, and I'm this Metro Atlanta boy. I've never been on a farm in my life, you know, but to go to Kentucky to go to seminary. And I had to apply for every single scholarship and ask people who didn't even have scholarships, hey, you want to give me some money, you know, to go here? And then we still had to pay some money in order to follow the call of God. It was even some resistance that way. But here's the thing. God uses resistance. He uses resistance we face to shape our character and to grow us and prepare us to be used by God in even greater ways in the future. You'll face resistance. But here's the fourth thing, and this is more exciting. The fourth thing you'll experience is this. You will receive uncommon confidence. When you start following the direction of God, you will receive uncommon confidence. Here's what Paul said, verse 24. He said this. He says, however, I consider my life worth nothing to me. My only aim is to finish the race and complete the task the Lord Jesus has given me, the task of testifying to the good news of God's grace. See, Paul got to a point in his life where he's like, look, all I want to do is serve Jesus. I just want to follow Jesus and serve Jesus and tell people about Jesus. Whether I'm in prison, I'll lead people in the prison to Jesus. Whether I'm out in the field or whether I'm sailing on a boat, I'm going to share about Jesus. I just want everybody to know about Jesus. I'm all about Jesus. And Paul had this huge ministry. He planted tons of churches. He wrote a significant portion of our New Testament. A lot of the letters are written by Paul. But do you know what made Paul such a difference maker for Jesus? It wasn't because he knew everything that was going to happen in his life. He just followed the promptings of God day by day. He followed the Holy Spirit day by day, and he served Jesus right where he was. And so in the early days of his life, Paul was like so many of us today. Paul's motto, I guess you could say, was, you know, it's kind of all about me. It's all about me. And so he was persecuting the church and all sorts of things. And think about this. What do people want to make today? So many times we're trying to make a name for ourselves. We're trying to make a name for ourselves. And then Paul, throughout his life, he met Jesus and he progressed. And he said, look, let's not be about making a name for myself, but let's be about making a difference in the world. And so he moved from me to we, like, all right, now I need Barnabas and I need Peter, and let's come together and let's do something significant for God. Let's make a difference. But then somewhere along his life, he kept growing, and the scripture showed it, that it became not just about making a name and it wasn't about making a difference, but his life became just all about Jesus. And when his life became all about Jesus, check this out, when he became all about Jesus, he not only made a name for himself, he not only made a difference in this world, but Paul changed the course of history to the glory of God. This is what happens when we follow God. And the truth is, I'm not there yet, like I want to be. I'm not there yet in every situation, but I want to be. I want to be all about Jesus and serving him with everything I do. Because when your life is all about Jesus, you don't have to worry about shaping your life. You don't have to worry about shaping your future. You just have to be obedient to God today. How can I be obedient to God today? That's how you discern God's direction. What does God want me to do today? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the way you work in our lives. And I just pray, God, that you would lead us, that you would guide us, that you would empower us step by step and day by day. And God, I just pray that you would help us to be more sensitive to the promptings of your Holy Spirit. And God, when you start to lead us, I pray that you would give us the courage and the faith to step forward and to walk with you. God, I know that for some of us, those promptings from you might be ways that you want us to serve in different ways. Maybe ways that you want us to get connected in maybe community, maybe even to join a group. Maybe it's to start a new ministry or to impact somebody in your neighborhood. I don't know what it is, but God, I just pray, God, that you would start to speak to us. You would start to show us that we don't need to know everything in the future. We just need to follow you today. Not worrying about the details, but just being all about you and serving you right where we are. We just ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.